Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. What we always do at the first of the year is we give a State of the Church address, and that might sound a little bit kind of boring or anything, but I tell you what, the church is about people. It's not about this building. The state of the church is the state of all of us. And I think we could have many people come on up here, and you're going to hear a lot of different testimonies today. Because, again, the state of the church is about this body of Christ, this local body of believers that we call Cedar Creek. And Jesus is the head of the church, and we are under his authority. And if you've been around for a while, you probably have heard us talk about our mission and our purpose, and it comes from the Great Commission. And our mission here at Cedar Creek is to what? You guys should know this. Win, build, and send. And that's not something we just made up. It comes from Matthew chapter 28. And these were some of Jesus' final words before he ascended back into heaven. And he wanted to tell us something important, and he did. And he gave us the Great Commission. Let's just read that right now. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These were Jesus' final words before he went back to heaven, and this is where we get our mission and our purpose from. And I underlined the words that pertain to our winning, building, and sending. It says, therefore, go. That's the sending part. And it's not just for some of us, it's for all of us. It means while we're living, while we're going about our life, while we're living the life that we live today, God wants us to be messengers for him. He says, make disciples and baptize them. That's the winning part. People coming to have a relationship with God through Christ, maybe for the first time. And then building them up in their faith, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so this morning, what we want to do to just make this more personal is as we look back at 2008, and then we'll take a little look ahead at 2009, we want to just have some people share some testimony about some of these areas. And so I'm going to ask George and Megan Peterson come on up here, and they're going to share a little bit about the winning part, where people have enter into a relationship with God through Christ. And George and Megan Peterson, we're supposed to use this one, I guess, so I'll give this to you guys. But you guys have been coming around kind of the start of summer, and just kind of tell us what brought you here and some of the hope that you've gotten since you've been here.
What brought us here was we were in a very bad place in our lives at the time. We were just had relapsed from a drug addiction. I just had my son, Tyler, and the children got in trouble, and the children have been taken away from us, and we're living with my mom and her husband, and we are just feeling just real desperate. And George had looked up in the phone book this church, and we thought we'd come and try. We ended up coming too late, and so then that next week he said, "Let's just go in and see if we can talk to somebody." And I didn't want to. I thought you don't just, you know, walk into churches and stuff. And so, but we did, and we met with Pastor Rob. And within the next week, he met with us again one-on-one and let us. And we both were talking about our problems with each other, and he listened to both of us and then said, "Let's try something else," and then led us through the gospel. And that was really a great experience for me. My life hasn't magically gotten better, but it has. It has. I feel different inside, and it's just been a really good experience every here.
Want to add anything to that, George? Or?
Yeah, it's an ongoing struggle. I'm trying to not live my will. I struggle with that daily, trying to live with what God would want you to do.
How would you say your relationship is changing in your family, with each other, and even as parents?
We're actually taking a look at our problems instead of stuffing them or masking them with chemicals.
Yeah. I think my relationship with my children has gotten better. I can see a change in my six-year-old since he started coming here, just being part of something. If we missed church, like last week, we had a family get-together, and we had to miss, and he really likes to come. And it's been really nice to see him be part of something outside of school that also includes me.
Yeah.
Like with the small group, I think he had a lot of fun playing with the other kids while I was at the small group, or when we go to the small group.
Yeah.
I've seen in my relationship change with my family for the better, too.
You mentioned the small group. What are some of the other things? I know since you guys have come around,
just
it seems like you're
so
jumping right in.
Something, just, you know, when Kelly asked and Mike asked us to be in the small group, it just made me feel really good just to be included and then just to be part of it and to feel accepted.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of something to do, structure and... There's been some really great discussions, I think, at the small group, too. And that's been neat. It really has.
And I know you guys you also came to Camp Forest Springs.
Yes, and that was so nice. Nancy drove me. I don't have my license. I have an occupational license right now, so I couldn't drive during those times. And she came to my home and picked me up and Tyler and drove us up there. And it was just so wonderful. We had this huge cabin to ourselves, and it was it was wonderful. And everyone we saw there was just so including. Mm-hmm. You know, I never felt awkward, or it's just been really nice.
That's awesome. You know, Jesus says that according to our hungry heart or our thirst, he'll fill that. And I know that he's filling that with you guys. And it started with you heard the gospel and you responded to that. And we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And God is real. And that's what we're all about here. It's about this message that we need, each one of us personally, and you're finding that, and you're it's taking hold, and so we're so glad. It seems like since you've been around, you guys come to everything, you know. See, and that's awesome, and that's really good. You're jumping right in, and that's really cool. We're glad that you guys took the courage to walk into the church and see if somebody was here.
Yes.
And it's so good that you guys have been coming around. We're so thankful.
We're thankful for the church, and I just really hope to become the person that God intended me to be, and you know, live God's will, not my own. Mm. Have a God-focused life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's give George and Megan a hand. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, speaking of. Just becoming what God wants us to be, that's the discipleship process, right? Winning starts with, we have a relationship. Somebody comes for the very first time, they come to an understanding that I'm a sinner and that Jesus died for sinners and that I can know God through Christ. And that's where it all starts. But then we're disciples. And as we mature, I think the definition of maturity is we become more like Jesus. We become more like Christ. And we're all disciples, and we're all learners. And so we're going to ask Jason and Heather Cans to come up and just tell us a little bit about how this discipleship process, this building process has gone for them over this year. Jason and Heather Cans. There's a new ministry started this year, and I'll let them talk about it. But how has that helped you guys grow personally?
Well, we are now mentoring the Spuds group, which is our singles ministry here at church. And it's been a real blessing to our family, needless to say. Two of the ways that I think it's really helped me to grow is early in our marriage, we had really made the decision that we wanted our home to always be the place that people felt comfortable just walking into our house and going through our cupboards. We won't mention any names. but people just felt welcome to just drop by for supper or whatever. And this has really just given us the opportunity to do that and to minister to others' needs. And I've had to kind of get past my own clean house issues. And as they can probably tell you when they came to clean my house for the women's tea, that my house is not always perfect by any means. But they've just been a real blessing to not care and just be here to be with us and not have to have this perfect home to be a part of. The other thing that has been really life-changing for me was that through some of the relationships in that Spuds group, you know, not only do we mentor them and minister to them, but they've also ministered to us and have helped me to kind of grow in some things that have happened in my past and helped me to see, okay, people can change and people can grow, and have helped me do some healing in my past as well. Mm. So,
I think the thinking through this, it's when we came and actually walked through the door when it wasn't church, which we also did. part of what I had shared with you guys was wanting an opportunity to church where we could have discipleship and grow, and that's certainly been true this year. I think one of the areas that's I've really seen growth in is the opportunity to provide biblical counsel. I met with one of the guys yesterday and just had a chance to not only think through biblically what's going on, but that allows me to kind of reflect in my own life a lot of the issues that we encounter, and what does the Bible say about those things?
Hmm. I know this last year you guys have taken steps personally, and just what are some of the personal steps that have led to growth with you in your life, in your family, as in your relationship? And
there's been a lot of changes this year. I felt like it's been a year where we've grown a lot. I was baptized as an infant, and for a long time struggled with that decision whether or not to pursue baptism as an adult, and this year decided to do that through conversations, through prayer, and that sort of thing, and felt like that was a real step that I was able to make. I think as a family, we made some changes as well. We had the we went to Camp Four Springs in the fall, and Mark Darling talked a little bit, somewhat intensely, about rearing our children and homeschooling and a lot of that thing. And I think Heather and I both kind of left with this, who is he, kind of feeling. And then I had the opportunity to hear him again at a leadership regional meeting. And I came home and basically said to Heather, it's time. We're going to homeschool our kids. And just really focused on wanting to do the best we can for our kids and feeling like that's the step we needed to make there. We started that in around Thanksgiving, and we've already noticed big changes in Grace and her maturity level. Grace is our 8-year-old. In her maturity level, her respectfulness and all that sort of thing, and that's been a real blessing. Mm-hmm. Kind of looking on the horizon, one thing we've talked about for a long time but have never actually pursued fully has been, we've really been felt called to adopt, and we've been pursuing that process. And in James 1, we learn that religion that God counts as pure is this: to care for orphans and widows. Mm-hmm. And so that's something we've really been pursuing and looking forward to. I mean, we've adopted about 20 of the Spuds, but we're looking at bringing some younger ones in as well. And and so that's just something that we've really felt called to. Mm-hmm. So.
Good. Paul said to Timothy that his growth, and it should be evident to all, and it really has been evident. It's been so fun to see your family just taking steps forward, and like we're all disciples, and we're under his authority, and he's got plans for us. He's got plans for us as individuals, couples, and families, and you guys are just being built up in him and his word, and so we're really thankful for you guys. Thanks. So, winning people to Christ, building them up, and being disciples, that's what God wants for all of us. And then the sending part. It says, go. In other words, while we're living our lives. And if you've been reading the one-year Bible, it's been wrapping up with Revelation. And I've been thinking a lot about that and heaven. And you know what? A couple things that we can't do in heaven. This is a good one. We can't sin in heaven. That will be good, won't it? Imagine that. There won't be any more sin in heaven. And the other thing we can't do in heaven that we can only do now is share the gospel. There won't be a need to share the gospel anymore in heaven, and now is our time to do that. And so when we talk about sending, we want to be the kind of a church where we're thinking about how to do that while we're here, how to do that in the long term. And from the time I start coming, we used to be called Christian Community Church over on 2nd Avenue. We were about 50 people at the time. I remember hearing about this church of 50 talking about someday we're going to plant a church. And that was exciting to me because I think we need to be thinking about multiplying and being fruitful and multiplying our lives. And so we've been at a point where we've been praying about that for years. And I think you've been hearing a little bit about this. We're getting a lot closer to that. And that's very exciting. We feel the door has really been open. God put on our hearts a couple of different cities. And we really feel like one door was closed and the other one remains open. And so we're really, we're looking at the future, possibly 2010, probably 2010. It's now 2009, where Cedar Creek would birth a brand new church. We'd be a whole new remnant of God in a new place in the La Crosse area. It's not an absolute at this point, but I tell you what, it's really neat because without anybody twisting arms or recruiting, or we really feel like God's Spirit has led us through this process. 23 of us took a field trip to La Crosse this summer, and God has been really stirring a lot of different ones up to say, you know, if we plant this church, I'm in. And so that's an exciting thing. It's a scary thing too. The birthing process is a wonderful thing when you look at the baby that has been born at the end, but it's a lot of work. There's some difficulty and relationships breaking apart. And so for us personally, I know that God has prepared our family probably a little over a year ago, made it very clear that if we do this, that we're going to be part of this. And so I'm thankful for that. And I feel like he's in it because I don't feel anxious about it. I don't feel worried about it. I'm telling some people, this is my 19th year teaching, and I love my job. I could do it for many, many years. And yet, part of it would mean letting that go. But God says, live by faith. And we can do that here. And we'll need to do that even more so. I think if we plant a church, all of us will be involved at some point, at some level. So as we know more answers to this, if this is going to happen, you'll hear clearly from us. We're going to be meeting with our regional guys, Mark Darling, Mark Bowen, soon. And Pastor Rob will get back from sabbatical, and we'll keep you informed. So, but it's on our radar screen to plant a church, and it's very exciting. We'll be part of the Great Commission, winning, building, and sending. Now, Pastor Dave's going to come up and share a little bit, too, about some other things.
Very good. Well, win, build.
I think that's a good way to capsulize what we're about here at Cedar Creek. That's our mission. That's our purpose.
And it was very good for us, for those of you that don't know, Sandy and I, were sent 4 years ago as part of the sending. We're sent to Berlin, Germany to work with the church plant there. And so we worked with that church for 3 years, and we were sent out by our Association of Churches, by you all, and it was tremendous. And we had an effect and an impact in a different part of the country as a church because of that. And so we want to continue that. God continues to mature us and develop us as a church so that we united together can make impacts in other areas, because that's what he's called us to do. And in one sense, every time I think, when I look back on our history, that we as a church have made progress is when we have stepped out to take a risk. And we've made good progress. We moved from Second Avenue out to here. It was a big risk that we took. We stepped out, and God provided marvelous ways, amazing ways in providing us this land and this facility. And God's used that to help develop the church. Again, the church is not about the building, but the building is a resource, a tool for us to accomplish his purposes of winning, building, and sending. And then Rob, really, God raised him up, and you all once and sent him. He took time and energy from pastoring here to start the Edge Campus Ministry. And that was like, also was like a church plant. And we've seen the fruit from that. And many of you have been impacted by the ministry of the Edge. And that was a risk we stepped out and took. And then sending us to Berlin was also a risk. And I think that's important for us to remember as we look back, because taking risks aren't easy. And they can at times be scary. And yet that's what pleases the heart of God. It says in Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him." So in one sense, risk-taking is just stepping out in faith. And as a church, we need to do that and continue to do that. And as we do it, God works. He's faithful. He blesses us and builds us up. And then when I look back from having been gone 3 years, we came back last January about a year ago, it was really good for us because we've been involved with the church for 25 years. And in the absence of those 3 years, we came back into it with a fresh vision. But also, it was great to step away. And I was so encouraged by what God did in our church body here while we were gone. And just tremendous things. I think probably the most important thing that happened was there was just really a releasing of each of you all to do ministry, to serve. And I really saw how we matured as a body so that instead of just having the pastors initiate new things, the initiation for different ministries and things happening came from within. And so we have 25 guys meeting to pray. I've tried organizing prayer ministries in the past, and it was always very difficult. Now we have more guys praying than ever, and pastors had nothing to do with it. We don't even go, and that's by design. You know what I mean? Why mess it up? And really, in one sense, there's a freeing, so just allowing God's Spirit to work in you all. And we really believe in the priesthood of the believer, that the Spirit of God is in each person that's a Christian, and that God wants to use you in powerful, mighty ways. And so different ones are stepping up in our church body to lead out, to step out in faith. And there's really a dynamic there that's been wonderful, just seeing that in perspective. And we're really thrilled by that. Now we're going to also have a testimony here and on the finances of the church. Cedar Creek has a board of trustees. Lorene, if you want to come up. And the board of trustees helps the pastors to use the money that's given and donated to the church wisely for the accomplishment of winning, building, and sending. And so they set a budget, and then we live by that budget for the next year. And over the years, we've really seen God's faithfulness. And even this past year, when our economy went down and many ministries and churches are struggling and laying off staff, we saw an increase, and it was an incredible blessing. And so Lorene will just kind of go over the numbers very briefly with a few charts to just help illustrate that.
Okay, Luke, if I could get the first chart. This is our annual average, or our monthly average income from 1999 through 2008. And if you look at it closely, you can see that the average income has nearly doubled since 1999. Dave talked about stepping out on faith, getting out of your box. And, you know, when Dave and Sandy were thinking about leaving, the Board of Trustees was very uneasy. You take away a full-time pastor and leave us with a pastor and a half to do the work of 2.5 people. And as you can see, and Dave laughs about this, but 2002, 2003, 2004, Dave left in 2005.
I said I don't like this chart.
2006 went up more, 2007 went up more. Our income, monthly income in 2007 is about 19% increase in 2008 from 2007. And if you were to break it down as a trustee, I get to see that it by the month. And the last 3 months of 2008, the monthly offering has averaged $26,000. Now, it has to be a God thing. There's no other way to even explain it, because when you think about, like Dave said, how other churches are, you know, quitting programs and trying to balance their budget, we have this immense increase in giving. God is so good, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Then if I could have the next slide. This is our benevolent slide. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament to tithe. Our church also tithes to the Great Commission churches, to the Regional Association of Churches, and our tithing this year was about $25,000. And we do this as a commitment to our region. And in 2007, for benevolence purposes, we gave out about $4,477. And in 2008, there was a 72% increase of benevolence given out. And you can see where the different ministries are that we gave to: the ministries and missions and individuals, retreats, scholarships, and also we had some grief care and car care that we gave out for. And our third slide shows the monthly budget. Now, for 2009, we have approved as a board of trustees to have $21,200 as our monthly budget, and the vast majority of that goes to our staff payroll and benefits. We have Dave, who is back from Germany, so instead of paying only half of his wages, because the Great Commission Church has paid the other half, we are paying him full-time. We have increased Nancy Zellinger from half-time to full-time. We have also added to our staff 5 hours a week of Chester Steele. He does all of our building maintenance and any construction needs that have to be done. And then our other pastor, Pastor Rob, is full-time, plus Pastor Dave is half-time, plus we have...
Doug.
We have Kim doing the custodial work also, and then we have Brian Johnson, who works for us also. So as you can see, our staff continues to increase, but God keeps increasing the giving, so we are able to continue. And any of the other expenses that we have would be on that chart. Thank you, Dave.
Very good. Thanks. Yeah, it's always nice to be able to say that God blessed. We don't know what's going to happen this next year. We'll just have to see how and trust God as things develop in the economy. I'm fortunate and thankful that I look around the congregation and I haven't seen really anyone laid off of their jobs here in Eau Claire at Cedar Creek. We don't know if that'll continue. You know, there's always a concern about the economy. But as a church, we rally together and help, and that's part of the reason for benevolence giving, is that we want to see that we are a community, of faith that cares about one another and tries to help each other when there's need. And so that's part of it. So thanks, Lorene, for that update on the finances. That was pretty painless, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, now we would like to highlight one of the big events this past year for us as a church was a thing called Faith Walkers. If you're not familiar with that, there was a group of about 90 of us from the church went 12 hours to southern Missouri to go to a national conference. And so it was a big event for us as a church movement. And Tom, you want to come up here along with Jim and Allie, where you guys are at? And they're going to just briefly talk about how God touched them through this retreat of Faith Walkers. And as they're doing that, I wanted to thank Tom Gary and Mike Downey. Why don't you wave and stand up there? Mike was the one that gave the announcements. These guys, really, Tom And Mike organized this. It was a big event. I mean, they hired two coach buses. We didn't have to drive. We rode. And they really, I mean, took a couple months and spent a lot of time organizing and really recruiting people to go. And so it was a big event that really impacted us as a church, and it was because of their labor. And so I'm really thankful that they did that. And so, Tom, go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. A conference like this is just so valuable in so many ways. They really do have intense teaching. We had 9 sessions, and then we had seminars in between the sessions that you could choose to go to. And it really helps you to form foundational truths that you can live by the rest of your life. We heard one that was really a helpful tool, and it was simply, it was something that Ann and I had heard before, and we used this tool in our house. And it may sound very simplistic, but it's really neat. It was simply, when you're wrong or when you are wronged in a household, how to process that in the household. And so we learned just 11 simple words. You call them the magic 11 words. And it is, I was wrong, will you please forgive me? And then the response is, yes, I forgive you. And that particular phrase was something that the Edgers, we had tie downs every day, and we just talked about what we learned. And that particular topic was one that the Edgers, this is us, we talked about that one in particular, and that one really struck a chord with a lot of people, how to resolve situations. And so that, along with a lot of other lessons, we came away with. Here's Jim.
Thank you. originally, the thought of going to Faith Walkers didn't. My wife and daughter signed up immediately, and she didn't. My wife didn't. She asked me if I wanted to go, and I thought I had too many things going on. And then after I thought about it, it was a good idea, and I'm just so happy that I did go. Probably the biggest thing I got out of this was meeting some of the other folks that belong to the Great Commission. Great Commission's been around about 35 years, and we really never talk about that much as far as where the Great Commission is. And I got to see some of these people and the families and their children and their children's children, you know, and the growth and the dedication that these men and women back in the late 60s put together and brought to us. And being around 2,200 fellow believers, and it really has changed my heart. It's just so wonderful to be part of this. And you know, there's so many places you can go in life, and I made this move, and I want my family to grow in that way too. It was real encouraging to go. I'm glad I went. If this comes around again next year, I encourage people to come. You'll enjoy it. It's very worthwhile.
Good.
Hi, I'm Allie. And yesterday when I was in my quiet time, I'm reading My Utmost for His Highest as a devotional, and it was talking about how God's word is renewed in our circumstances. So like in different circumstances, God's word is renewed and just becomes real and live to us. And that's just something that I've really felt. And the thing that I read as well was Psalm 37:5. It says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the cause of your cause like the noonday sun. And just the thing that was really laid upon my heart at Faith Walkers was just obeying God and trusting him completely in an area of my life that I really hadn't given up to him. And that was really hard, giving like this huge area of my life that I kind of like was attached to me, and just saying, like, God, you really control this, and I trust that you will just lead me to the perfect place, and just that I can trust in your plan for me, and that I know that it is much better than anything I could ever imagine for myself. So that's just been something that has really changed my life from Faith Walkers.
Okay, thanks, you guys. Next year, Faith Walker is going to relocate to Omaha, downtown Omaha, in the Quest Center. And so, as Jim mentioned, you might want to think about that even now, a year in advance. Save for it and plan for that into your holiday next year. Okay, another thing I think stands out from this past year is just the development and the growth of small groups within Cedar Creek has been extremely healthy and valuable. As a philosophy, there's several things we believe from the scriptures is important for you to grow as a Christian. As Doug was talking about being built up, that's what God wants for us. God wants us to be more and more like Him, and He's working to do that. And so as a church, we help in that process. And so one of the things we need to do is organize the structure of the church. And so we meet together on a Sunday morning for a gathering of everyone. And so we have two services, and we, you know, it takes a lot of time, energy, and work. And the primary purpose of that is to teach God's word and to worship together. Those are valuable things that we need to do as Christians to be healthy Christians. But then the small groups add a different part of our life and our growth and our building. Small groups are where you have fellowship, and fellowship is just where you have connections and friendships with people, eye to eye. You can't do that in a big group. Small groups are where you care for one another when you have needs. Someone needs to move, so their small group usually gathers together and helps them move. And in many other ways, if they have a baby, they organize meals. And those kinds of caring things. And then also small groups are where you can pray with other believers. And so they're very valuable in just the structure of the church and in just your health as a believer. And so we've really seen some good growth in our small group this past year. And I'd like Pam and Brad Berg to come up. And they've really been impacted by the small groups, and then they took a big step of faith this year in going from just being in a small group to leading a small group. And so it's been fun hearing their testimony. I didn't know Brad and Pam because we were in Berlin when they came. I heard their name from Jen and Aaron. They came on a small group, a missions trip to Berlin, and I kept hearing about people that God was working in their lives, and so it was so fun to meet them this past year and to see what God is doing in their life. So would you guys first of all tell us just kind of how the small groups impacted you as a couple and as individuals?
Do you want me to go first? I'll go first this time. It's as a individually, it's led me to being baptized. It's deepened my faith. It's helped me to trust. It's helped me to stop relying on myself and realize that God is the one that we need to rely on and that He's going to do everything for us. As a couple, I think it's drawn us closer together. I took the step of getting baptized this summer, kind of just as a public showing, but on the way there, the power of a praying wife, we were kind of bickering a little bit. I can get that way. And Pam looked at me and said, "I have been praying for this for 6 years. You are not going to ruin this for me." So it's grown us closer together because we can talk like that and it doesn't bother us. So
cool.
I don't know if you have any more.
I guess just for me, it has opened up an avenue of friendships that I had been lacking. God brought women into my life that I didn't realize I need, but I really do. And one of the areas that I've really grown in the past year is in my listening to God and just being willing when I hear Him talking to me, and it's just kind of a personal thing, but just kind of taking that step and moving out of my box. I'm kind of a personal person, and I like to stay where I'm safe and cozy, and He is kind of just calling me to step out of that box and to be bold and to share His love with all those around us. And the small group has given us that avenue to be able to do that.
Cool. Okay, then could you guys maybe address then what led you to start leading a small group and the challenge and as well as the stretching it's been for you?
What led us to do it is just sheer volume. We started with a small group that originally was 8 adults, and then we all started having kids. So we split off and then we...
Couples.
8 couples, I'm sorry, not 8 adults, 8 couples. And then we split and then... A year or so ago,
last summer,
we thought about splitting again, and we kind of said, "Ooh, I don't know." God kind of worked on our hearts over the summer, and kind of said, yeah, it's how it stretched us. I'm not a leader. I don't see myself as a leader. And as a young Christian, just didn't see myself in that spot. But turned out there were people praying for me to do something like this, and it worked out. And it's forced me to, not forced, it's it's allowed me to trust God more. And then I forgot the question, but
that's okay. That's just fine. That's great. Well, let's give him a hand. Thank you for your testimony. You know, that's what it's about, is lives that are being changed. That's, again, why I'm a pastor. What really motivates me and stirs me and continues on is that God is at work in our lives to change us into His image. And it's exciting to meet Brad and Pam and just see the changes that God's doing in their lives here at Cedar Creek. So, well, when we look at the coming year, what does it hold? I don't know. Can't tell you that. But I know God is in our future. And as Doug mentioned, maybe a church plant's coming up. And that, again, can be a painful process. Earlier, Brad and Pam talked about when their small group divided, how painful it was because you have relationships that you're not going to see as often. But God's calling us as a church to move forward, to go, to ascend. And so that's part of the multiplication process. And so we just need to keep moving forward in that way. And it's at times painful. It's uncomfortable. God hasn't called us to comfort. He has called us to serve Him, to obey Him. And that's a good thing. And when we're stretched, it's a good thing. It's not always easy. And I don't know what the economy is going to do, but God does. And God is faithful. He's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the future. Why? Because that's His character. And we can trust Him. We can rely on Him. And He's good. So, but for starting the new year next week, I'm going to invite you to come back. I'm looking forward to this. I'm starting a new series, and I'll be talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the third week, I'm going to talk about heaven. And as I'm studying, I'm just astounded as to what this can do when we understand the big picture. And we'll look at the big picture. I think so many times people set a course in life and they look at their future and they say all they see is their life at this time and maybe a future. And so they set a goal for retiring. And so they're spending all this time building a nest egg for that time in which you retire. And then you get there, and you have a few years, and you die. And that's it. Well, God has a lot more in store in this world. He's got a grand plan. He's carrying it out. It's amazing. And what that is, there's a lot written in His Word. It's amazing how God has laid out the future. I can't tell the future, but when I read the Bible, the future is there. And so we'll look at what are some of the specific things that are going to happen in the future, as well as how you'll have a part. And in seeing that, it'll revolutionize your lives. It'll give you a whole new perspective on this life right here and now when you see what's going to happen in the future. So I hope you can come back for that in the next 3 weeks. So let's pray, and we'll finish up as we worship God and just thank Him for His faithfulness over the past year. God, we do just really give You thanks, Lord. I'm humbled by how You blessed us financially. Lord, I'm not proud. It's not, even as we share this, God, there's no reason other than Your grace and Your blessing. It's not because we've been or done all that many great things. But we just thank You that You're our God. You lead us as a church. You direct us. And Father, we just really do want to be involved and carrying out Your command that You left when You left this earth. You promised to come back, but in the meantime, You told us to go into all the nations and disciple all the nations and baptize them and teach them to observe all that You commanded us. Help us this coming year to be winning, building, and sending as You've commissioned us. And so one day, Lord, we're looking forward to when we see You And we just thank you, God. You're worthy of all glory. And we individually, as well as a church, want to bring you glory because you deserve it. So we thank you in your son's name. Amen.